This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's Hour 3, G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan show sheet coming out, guys. My bad on that. But we are live at Shell Shack here off Henderson, just about a half mile from our radio station at 75 and Fitzhugh. So we are in that part of town. And we'd love for you to come by and celebrate National Crawfish Day with the guest of honor, Brian Broaddus.
Here, here. Yeah. Come on by and eat some crawfish with me. It'd be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to diving into some, and man, like I keep talking about, you can tell when people know how to cook by the smell of their restaurant or their kitchen, and this place has got a pretty incredible smell to it. So a lot going on. Really look through the menu. If you don't like crawfish, there's other things going on here too that you can that you can feast on as well. So get on out here and see us, and it should be a lot of fun today.
Today, crawfish here at Shell Shack, $8 per pound.
That's a deal right
now.
You
want to get here quick, and the Nation is going to be on for the next 3 hours all the way until 7 o'clock. All righty. Comedian Craig Gass, remember him from the Super Bowl? Funny guy?
Yes.
Was on Family Guy for a long time, does all these different voices. He says he can do any voice. He just needs time. He's going to join us coming up at 4:40.
Very exciting. Yes, it's now he's friend of the show, so this is his return to the G-Bag Nation. I presume he's getting ready to go on an epic comedic tour.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear about it.
He's probably in town to do something funny. So we'll talk with the comedian Craig Gass about his latest travels and exciting things and what he has cooking. Seems like he told us he's in Dallas often, and I'm not sure if he lives here or if he tours through here a lot, but he's here. And it'll be funny coming up at 4:40 probably. Okay, Stephen Jones was talking with the KMC Masterpiece yesterday. We talked about a couple of the different quotes that he had from there. Today I was, reviewing more, some of the things that he said. And it's interesting to me, how much pressure that he puts on Dak Prescott. He was asked, what carries more weight this season, adding around Dak for another run or Prescott carrying even more of the load? What do you think about what he says here at 877-881-1053? The FrankelFrim.com text line is open. He says, I think anytime you have a great quarterback, that's part of what comes with accountability when you make that kind of money that Dak's making. Mm. He had a great year last year. He was number two in MVP voting, had a great season. Unfortunately, we didn't do what we needed to do to beat the Packers. So we've just got to continue to figure out what's in the best interest of this football team in terms of making it better and giving it the best chance to have success in the playoffs. So he kind of hedged his bet there at the end, but you're not making the team better. I think, this year we're heading in a direction that in order for them to win the Super Bowl, Dak Prescott's going to have to take a humongous step up when it comes to playing in playoff games against that level of defense.
Yeah, this is this is Stephen Jones. He's just saying, hey, if you're going to be the quarterback that wants all the money, if you're coming to get all the money, at some point you're not going to have the type of resources around you that you would perhaps if you didn't have all the money.
Which I love, but he gave him the money,
Yeah.
One way or another, I don't like it because does Stephen think he's that good? And he's like, man, we're paying you this money. How does it keep going wrong? He's telling you with his play, he's not worth the money. You just brought it up right here again, First of all, I wouldn't be making a habit of talking about his money. I'd find other ways to talk about that because that just it kind of feels weird to me for that reason. But you're also throwing Dak to the wolves, knowing full well you're going to have to absolutely dominate this draft to even hope to be as good as you were last year. Tyron Smith is gone, Brian.
I don't know if he can play any better, the quarterback. I don't know.
I mean, if you look at the stats in the regular season, he can't.
I think the defense lost that game for him in the playoffs. I really do. And I know that they the way that they busted assignments, guys running open, they let a quarterback, a first-time playoff quarterback, move the ball up and down the field on them. They didn't have any answers.
Defense might have been worse, but Dak did not play well that game.
Everybody sucked.
They will tell you, but I'm going to say there's games where you can blame it on the quarterback. I don't personally feel like that was the game. Was he good enough? No, he wasn't. But I don't know as far as a regular season, how does he play any better? They win 12 games. I don't know. I think to me, Stephen Jones is kind of setting things up to clear the decks here.
Really?
I think so. I mean, and I want to believe that they're going to try and sign Dak and all that, but the way that he's like, yeah, you want all the money? Well, go find a way to win a playoff game. We were bad. You didn't do a very good job. You know, well, the whole damn team didn't do a very good job, including the coach that's now at the Commanders. He didn't do a very good job either, yeah. You know? So, to me, yeah, he's going to take a lot of this blame, and, you know, the more it's going on this way, the more I feel like, you know what, they're setting this guy up to move on and get another
He
guy.
Might be negotiating in the media a bit as well.
He doesn't want to do that. That's something he always talks about. And anytime you ask anybody, like, oh, no, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about negotiating. What's he doing? He's talking about, you know.
Yeah.
He's talking
you
about
want
it. But they'll
the
tell you.
Win a playoff
they'll
game.
Tell you, oh, well, you know, that we don't want to talk about it, but here they are. You know, I just, trust me, they're going to draft offensive linemen, and we're going to see if that's good enough. We're going to draft a running back and see if that's good enough.
I don't know how you guys would react to it. TruckWreck.com fan text is open, Chief. But if I'm Dak and I'm reading the quotes about this, I text Steve and I'm like, bro, Mozzie Smith, Luke Schoonmaker. Yeah. You know, you talking about me? Yeah. You talking about what I can do? You see my numbers, number two in the MVP. We get to the playoffs and we can't even run the football. The defenses are allowed to play the kind of schemes that do frustrate our passing game, yes, but the counter to that must be a good running game, or you know full well you ain't going to win in January, Steven. How the hell are you giving me very little run defense on the defensive side of the ball, very little ability to run the ball on the offensive side, giving, you know, Zeke $12 million against the cap, giving Tony Pollard $11 million against the cap. We're spending more at running back than any other team over the last 5 years, and we have an average running game.
You idiots even paid me when I got injured. I mean, what are you guys doing?
Yes. I mean, Terrence Steele out here at right tackle. I mean, if I was Dak, I would think, man, who is my favorite person in the media right now? You know, I'm going to go do an interview with
Jory Epstein.
Jory. And yeah. Say, wow, you know, no disrespect to some of my guys, but we're paying dudes coming off injuries. We're overvaluing the running back position. These guys are my friends. But when it comes to winning, and I can have my agent break down a lot of the different mismanagements that this Cowboys team has done. If you're talking about me, one of the best players at my position, while you guys are fumbling opportunity after opportunity to convert on a championship, you know, I have a major problem with that, we're not partners right now. We're adversaries that happen to work for the same team.
He won't do that, because what will happen is if it ends up that they let him walk, he'll walk out of here as the good guy.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that F things up.
Well, I would appreciate it even more if he would spell out for the fan
base
this team isn't winning, this team couldn't win with Tony Romo.
Won't do it. He would just as soon let them be the bad guy here. And everybody will. They'll all back, like, you're not helping him. You're not doing it. But then you got guys like yourself. Well, wait a minute now.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to, you know, they were going to draft a defensive end several years ago. And they took CeeDee Lamb, one of the best receivers in, you know, they're going to draft offensive linemen, you know, in this draft. Hopefully make it better. They're going to draft a running back. Hopefully make it better. They need another wide receiver, you know, to help make things better. If they do all those things, then they'll see. They'll see that, like, okay, is it the quarterback or is it the philosophy that our team building is what they'll do.
Well, unfortunately, it's both.
Yeah, but Dak will not. He understands the fan base will turn on the Joneses faster if he just stays quiet.
You're probably right. He doesn't need to.
He doesn't need to stir things up. He's either going to get paid or he's going to get paid somewhere else.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, they aren't the Patriots of great organizations for a long time, and he ain't Pat Mahomes. So you can point all the fingers you want. They got plenty of fingers to point at you, and you got plenty to point at them. You're both extremely imperfect.
Right.
And unfortunately, you can't figure out to marry those imperfections to greatness. You're getting paid.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting paid, and you're going to keep coming up short. But you all get to win because you're getting the money, you're getting the money, you're getting the money, you're getting the money. Everything's fine. We're cool.
Yeah.
We have our issues. You have yours. You can't fix yours. And guess what? We aren't fixing ours.
Yeah, the Joneses aren't going anywhere. The quarterback will go somewhere, along with the head coach.
Yeah, you know, and I appreciate that. I do wish these players would fight back a little bit
more. They won't.
More.
He won't. There's no reason for him to fight back.
There's a principality of it.
No, there isn't.
Sure there is.
No.
This guy's blaming you. Half the fan base thinks you suck.
That's and
because
you know
of
what?
Crap like this that
comes
out of Steve's mouth but on 105.3 The Fan.
But there's the other half that are like, will fight the fans that think he's crap. That's what I'm saying. We see it every day when we do radio.
Yeah,
what 50%. People ask me about it all the time. What's the one thing that lights people up here? Love Dak, hate Dak. You could get we on the text. You could see it. You guys are idiots. You guys are idiots. That quarterback can't play worth a damn. Can't play worth a damn. Can't idiot. You guys are. It's the fan base is already divided on this guy. He doesn't have to wade into this. You know, I'm surprised Steven waded into it. To be honest with you.
Yeah,
you are right though. You are right. Like he knows Dak's not winning over the part of the fan base that is anti-Dak. Well, the anti-Daks aren't coming back.
Yeah,
and the ones that stand next to him, he's already got the 50%, and that's fine. He'll ride it.
They will rush into oncoming traffic for him.
Yeah,
you know the guys and gals that don't like him are like pushing those people into the traffic. You know, so he's got no reason. He's got no reason to say anything about what Stephen Jones is doing.
If I was Dak right now, I think I'd probably start in on a bottle of brown liquor. And
he loves him some crawfish.
I'd crack open my laptop, and I would stare at this part right here. When it comes to accountability, when you make the kind of money Dak's making, and I would just let it simmer and stew.
Yeah.
And then I'd say, you want to talk about accountability? ... Thread me. Here we go, buddy.
All caps, here we go. Thread me?
Oh, here we go. Yes.
You got time today?
Oh, I absolutely have time today, yes. And every shot goes another tweet until the end, and I'm somewhere between, you know, belligerent and dropping knowledge.
Wait.
Yeah.
You're talking about tweeting, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm talking about taking some of that brown liquor and then go talk to Steven face-to-face and blow that hot brown liquor in his breath as you talk about your money and disrespect-like.
Lucius, do you take two glasses in the bottle and just set them in front of on the table and have that conversation? Is that how you do it?
Nah, you walk in there with the bottle in hand.
Half the bottle gone.
And the liquor has to be oozing off of you.
Yeah.
You walk in there, bloodshot, red eyes, and you're just giving him that breath. What did you say about me?
Make him scramble for the phone. Oh, security. Can you join me in the office?
You had your Trident bubble gum in the cup holder, but you intentionally left it in there. You didn't want to chew on that when you walked in. You wanted that thing to be rank nasty.
So salute to the reporter who followed up with, do you feel accountable? Okay, because I think maybe the reporters were thinking the same thing I were, like, wow, that's a hot one there to go zinging past Dax.
Ooh, I'm excited to hear how he answered this one.
He said, absolutely, I feel as accountable as anybody in terms of the success of this franchise. Of course, we want to have one of the top, if not the top franchise in the country, if not the world. I think we do it in terms of what our brand's valued at. We certainly want to have more success on the field in terms of that part of it. But
why do you bring that up? Why would you even bring that up? That is a hot button topic for everybody.
Clearly, we're awesome at business.
Yeah.
You know, so we really know how to do something in this whole operation.
Ugh.
He said, but as I said, we've had a lot of success during the regular season. We haven't had the success in the postseason. And until we do that, we understand there's going to be frustration. And I can tell you with this, we'll be rolling up our sleeves and going to work. I mean, what does that mean? Trying harder at the draft?
Nah, it means the same thing they've been doing every year.
Just try to draft a championship
team. Do their best to draft a good team and fill the spots and hope that they don't have to fire their coach or let him walk out of contract. They won't fire him. If it's not good enough, he just walks, just like Garrett did. But he gets to stay around for a week and tidy up things if he needs to.
Man, all we need is our quarterback to play up to the money that we're giving him and our scouts to draft just a little bit better. Yeah. We'll get there, guys. But rest assured, we'll be trying our hardest there to bridge that gap. Yeah, it's tough medicine because now as this whole thing has played out, you had a championship window open for a decade. They never really went for it. The legends are more frustrated than ever. This is significantly different than like the first 15 years of failure post 95. You know, this second year, this second half of this three-decade time, you can really start to feel it reach some sort of a critical mass where it's going to, I think, start impacting the fan base. Yeah, I mean, we're at a third of a century now. That is a long-ass time.
Yeah, it's impacting the fan base because you're the first seed in 16. You're the second seed last year, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like when we were running the things and we were just completely effing it up, you know.
Yeah.
The fan base knew that we were bad.
Yeah.
They knew it.
Couldn't help
it. Now they're like, damn, you win 12 games, you win 13 games, you get the right seating, you have a chance, you know, to get, and you don't do it. You just pee down your leg.
Yeah.
But, you know, this
was a poop down your leg.
Yeah, this is what's hard for this fan base now. is how do we have all this success in the regular season and completely fall apart in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I don't – that's the hard part. Like I say, the fan base before that, when we were effing it up, it was – they're like, well, we understand why they're bad. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have this. They don't have this.
Couldn't find a quarterback.
Yeah. Personnel department sucks. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that you could point to. And now you look at it, you go, well, why does this team not have success?
Yeah, because they do a lot of those things well. They got a quarterback. Yeah. They manage their assets well. They're not giving two number ones.
Eight Pro Bowl players, you know, I mean.
But it's like they've done the perfect job of putting in a foundation and framing a house and all the best windows, and now they need to finish the job with excellent finishings on the inside and get the master bedroom all popping with all the good stuff. And they're just like, no, we don't need to do that. You know, the home works. You know, the home's going to look great from the outside. But it's those fine details that are required now to win it all in the NFL. And the problem is this version of the Cowboys' failure, they don't understand that their mode of operation is a problem, which robs you of hope, you know? If they knew that was a problem, they were like, oh, man, I can't believe what we just did over the last decade, getting so close but never actually going all in. What a bad mistake. We'll never do that again, Cowboys fans. If that's what Stephen Jones was saying on the tail end of this and he admitted, wow, we're in salary cap hell now and 2025 and we never truly went for it, our bad won't happen again, then I'd be like, you know what? I can still mess with these guys. I can still go get a Cowboys jersey and feel good about the belief that eventually they're going to win the Super Bowl.
See why? We had him on last Monday, and it resonates with me what he was talking about with trading away that pick. You know, trading away that player to get, you know, the reliever. And he here he is. This guy won a championship.
Yeah.
And he admitted, he goes, man, I know what I did, but I wish I had that player. You know, I wish I had that pitcher.
Yeah.
And he won a damn championship, and that bothers him.
Yep.
You know?
He still wants it all.
Yeah.
He's hungry for it all.
Exactly.
You know, and he's in the fight. He's not checked out enjoying the fruits of his, you know, labor from previous eras. All righty. We're live at Shell Shack here. Woolchuck is out. Got the baby home. Send him some love on social media. Of course, we got LA Live coming up at 5:40. We're going to be hanging out National Crawfish Day all afternoon here. Where are you taking us next, Chief?
Well, you said it, National Crawfish Day, live from Shell Shack. Why not the top 10 most iconic Cajun dishes of all time with Brian Broaddus in the building? I was going to tee you up to do a list, and I forgot, so I will tell you what that list would have been next year in the nation.
Welcome back. It is the GPAC Nation live at Shell Shack here, 2326 Henderson Avenue. National Crawfish Day, $8 per pound, the crawfish. So get here now, and we'll be on the air until 7 o'clock. This segment of the GBAC Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks at DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. That's 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here's Chief with Woolchuck's Top 10.
Yes, sir. Live from Shell Shack on National Crawfish Day with Brian Broaddus, General Gavin Dawson, and Ruben Portillo and all the Tolos. No place I'd rather be right now, honestly. This is perfect. Yeah. This is one of my favorite things. Like, I miss about being at college in Denton because they would always have, like, Fry Street. It would be Big Crawfish Broil Day at some point. Maybe it is maybe on National Crawfish Day or whatever, but there'd be a handful throughout the springtime. And just a... the great weather, you know, great vibes always, and it was just one of the more fun things about college, I would say, was the springtime, like St. Patty's Day, and then the crawfish broil season was a blast, dude.
The weather's good enough still that you're just hanging out outside enjoying that good patio season.
Yeah,
so fun.
Exactly, and that's what we're doing right here, which is why Shell Shack is phenomenal. I do like.
Oh, they got the garage door open for us right here.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Those were your prime Dardian years, I believe.
They were. I was hitting my peak right there, just housing so many crawfish. Yeah. Like, I love it. I'm with you, Broaddus. Yeah. Like, it was love at first bite for me. And that you do have to work a little bit, but that's fine. I mean, the only times they're troubling is when they're just overspiced. And then all of a sudden, I feel like my entire face is swollen.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is you have to be careful. You have to know your audience, who you're cooking for. But if you could get somebody's nose to run a little bit, that's you kind of – when you see people – because I cooked one time for Avery Johnson and his wife, and they're both from New Orleans. And so she was like – she had her sleeves rolled up. He was on one end. She was on the other end of the table. And I walked down to her end, and she had this grin on her face while I walked to her. She looked at me like, man, you know what you're doing.
Oh,
here.
It's a look of respect. You got the look of respect.
To the point where afterwards, like, Avery was shaking hands with everybody. He goes, man, come here. Come here. He gave me a hug, like this big hug, and his wife. And I was talking with him, and she goes, listen, if I ever have to throw a party, can I please call you and you come cook for my group? Because you're the closest that crawfish that I've had since I've been at home.
Wow.
So that to
what
somebody,
a tip of the cap.
For somebody that I respect like that, and but like I say, she had on her Gucci outfit and everything, she was peeling those things so fast, and it didn't, and not one bit of got on her at all, man. She's a professional, but I love cooking for people that way.
Yeah, 972. I did accidentally throw an R in there. I think I said crawfish broil at one point. I'd like to apologize
That's
for that.
Okay, man.
On its holiday though, I gotta be more respectful.
People are
that.
Watchdogging you a lot. I feel bad about that.
Well, you gave
I'm the
them,
king watchdog of you.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Would be
yes,
nice you if you could broil them though.
Yeah,
pop them in the oven.
Yeah. Yeah. you can do oysters that way though.
Okay,
I can,
that's what I was thinking. That's
Dawson,
thinking.
I can make. You know, I know the oyster. He's probably looking at like, nah, I'm never having an oyster, but I could do them with. I can make them Bienville with a little spinach, a little Parmesan Ooh. Cheese, a little hot sauce on them. You would never know it was an oyster.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
Yeah.
It really does, man. The top 10 most iconic Cajun dishes. Now, I'm doing this because I forgot. I was driving home yesterday, and I was like, it would be a good idea for Broadus to bring us his 10 commandments for throwing a crawfish boiled. How to have the perfect crawfish boil.
Number 10, you have to have the right pot. And I mean pot in a way of
Please explain.
Cooking vessel.
Yeah, oh, okay.
The cooking vessel is important. You don't want to be cooking crawfish in like a turkey fryer. You know, you want to make sure you have a cooking vessel that's long is big enough to have all the vegetables and be able to get the crawfish in and not crowd that area pretty much. That's really, really important. Number two.
Oh, you just jumped from 10 to 2.
I'm sorry, number 9. Number 9.
Number 9. Wow, yeah. He's going to do this off the top. Is he going to do this off the top
right
now?
I think so. I think I could do this off the top of my head. I think number 9, the most important thing is, though, make sure that your crawfish are clean. Okay?
Soap and water.
Well, soap and water doesn't work too good. The water part works good. The soap part, I would avoid that part. But, yeah, you got to make sure that your crawfish are completely clean. And what happens is just because you buy them at Rex's Seafood, you know, and then you haul the bag out of there and it looks, oh, these look fine. When then you put them in the trough or a bucket, whatever you're cooking them in, or, you know, make sure they're clean. There's mud in those crawfish. And nothing is worse than you not doing a good job with your crawfish, cleaning them, and then all of a sudden there's that mud. You get that mud taste. You know, you pop one open and a little bit gritty, and you're like going, okay, this is not good at all.
469 says number one rule to eating crawfish: wash your hands before going to the bathroom afterwards.
That's a must.
I mean, I'm sure you've had a handful of errors over the course of your drunken crawfish eating years, where a finger went somewhere.
I'll tell you what works really good if you got that crawfish. If you want to get the smell and all that off your hands, use lemon juice. That's my pro tip. Maybe an honorable mention.
Yeah,
honorable
like mention have some thing. Lemons. Have some lemons.
Have some lemons available, not only to go into the crawfish pot, but to make sure that you can get the juice off your the smell off your hands.
Okay, fantastic. All right, number 8 here.
Number 8 is I think that what you have to do is I think one of the things that make sure that you have enough propane. There's people that will do crawfish boils. But you need the propane. You need that gas to be able to. You don't want to get caught all of a sudden you're cooking and you don't have a full propane tank and you're thinking, oh wait, I did the flat top the other day. I think I got half a can of propane in there I could use.
Nope.
Taking it, you need to make sure you have a whole bit of propane in your tank.
You keep two on you?
I keep two on me.
There you go.
Because you just do not want to run out of that. You don't want to get in the middle of a cook and then all of a sudden you're out and then you have to scramble and go get some or find some or something like that.
Gosh, just embarrassing, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is a little embarrassing.
Just a real party, a downer situation.
Yeah.
But an upper, just when I thought National Crawfish Day couldn't get any better, I see that the Astros just were swept by the Braves.
And they were up today, too.
They were.
Wow. Up, yeah.
They were. That bullpen, that incredible, that vaunted Astros bullpen, man.
Got rocked again, huh?
I can't believe awesome. The Braves found a way against those guys sitting at 614 right now.
Yeah.
Happy National Crawfish Day to them. Number seven?
Number seven is what you got to make sure that you do is there's certain things that people will use just powder and not the liquid. I think you need a combination of both. There's dry ingredients and there's wet ingredients with crawfish bowl. Don't say, I'm just going to go with the powder here. Make sure you have the liquid boil that goes along in there. It's kind of a concentrated thing. A 16-ounce bottle does it really well. Full 4-pound bag of the seasoning and one of those bottles works really, really well. Don't skimp on that. But you, like I said, you got to kind of know your audience. If you're cooking for people that have never eaten crawfish, maybe you could go a little bit lighter on the powder and not just totally just blow them away.
But the most, more powder, the more spice.
A little bit, yeah. The powder, yeah. You want to make sure that dissolves too. So you get your flame, you get that going, you get your water boiling, and then you put that powder in there and let it sit in there for about 10 minutes. Let that thing boil. Let it, you know, because it'll sink to the bottom if you don't make it boil a little bit. So you want to get your water seasoned as you can as much, but make sure you use the bottle and the powder as well.
The 682 crawfish is not their favorite of meals, and I think anybody who doesn't like it for the most part just doesn't want to have to do the peeling and it's just the work that's involved.
Right.
But the fun about being at a crawfish boil, mm-hmm. and there's other elements too.
Right.
What do you you have the sausage in there? You got the potatoes.
That's what I was going to say. My next thing is what
number five. Okay, number five.
Yeah, I think we're at number five.
Keeping tally.
Yeah, the number five thing is, you know, there's lots of variations of what you could put into with the crawfish boil. I've seen people do, you know, green beans. I've seen people do artichokes. I've seen people do all kinds of vegetables.
Do you scoff when you show up?
You know what? David Hillman, who is my Louisiana brother, he is one of the guys that always asks, please, Brian, put mushrooms in there for me. Because what mushrooms do is they soak up the juice. You know, like, so when you get those mushrooms.
They're just flavor bombs.
They're flavor bombs.
As long as you can get past the terrible
texture.
The texture, yeah.
See,
the
I'm mush. Not. I don't traditionally put mushrooms in my crop, but you can. People can put. I've seen people put sweet potatoes in these.
So it is legal.
Yeah, it is legal, and I've seen people do citrus. Citrus is not a bad thing. Squeeze some oranges in there. But now that the companies have come up with a kind of a flavoring pack that you could put in along with the seasoning, that if you want that citrus,
make it pop.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Number four. Now we're at the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, we're getting
this
close.
This is beer.
Yeah.
This is good. This is good friends. This is maybe a little cowboy golf. No, I'm not looking at the bags anymore. I'm looking at the cowboy golf.
Yeah, this is when you start to with the most to me when you start to get into this point now is that you got to make sure that you put the corn in. Now the thing to me is you got to make sure that you get your pot the right temperature of it. And so with that being said, though. The thing is that, you know, you don't want to sit there and overstuff it. So you want to make sure you got the good boil and all that. So pay attention to your boil.
Okay.
And what's going on. And because what's going to happen is your boil is going to go up and down to, you know, when you start adding product to it. So make sure that you kind of pay attention to that there. Don't overstuff it. Don't have it come spilling out of there and all that. But pay attention to where your boil's at right there. And then make sure that the water levels are right and stuff like
Let's
that.
Let's be detail-oriented here.
Yeah.
Okay, is that too much to ask? Number three.
Number three is, I think, the most thing. Have the right equipment if you're going to do this, too. We talked about the pot, but you got to make sure that you have, like, the gloves and also, like, the paddle to be able to make sure that, you know, you're stirring this thing. Make sure you have the right equipment because it's important to keep that.
The stir, the movement.
Keep it moving. Keep the pot moving. So what happens is, though.
That's what Nate Newton said.
Yeah.
Sorry. He had Nate Newton at the powders earlier. Yeah. He's like,
no, but you want to keep
the pots. We got the mushrooms.
You want to keep it stirred when you take that top off. You want to be able to give it a good stir there.
All right. And number two.
Number two is, I think you got to make sure that, to me, when I cook crawfish, I always want to make sure that I have enough You know, don't skimp on the crawfish. Don't you know, don't
feel all or nothing, man.
All or nothing. Don't make sure that when you go, if you're going to a party, kind of get an idea of how many people you're potentially going to cook for.
Okay, I was going to ask you, at RSVP, do you require
you
those?
Ask somebody. I mean, every time when I was, you know, we would do parties, I would ask, how many guys are going to be there? How many people? So you kind of knew when you go to these parties, hey, there's going to be, you don't want to get 2 sacks of crawfish and only 10 people are eating. You know, you want to make sure that you have the right amount. I mean, you want to make sure you have enough.
Yeah, it's communal.
But you want to be able to
What's a good rule? Like 2 pounds per person?
2 pounds per person is usually pretty good. Sometimes you'll get with some people, like let's say with Avery Johnson and his wife, that they could eat 10 pounds sitting there right there. These sacks are 36 pounds. So when you get a number of people, just kind of be mindful. There's some people that won't eat crawfish, but what they'll eat is the andouille sausage. They'll eat the corn. They'll eat the potatoes.
I heard.
Sometimes you could fill up. You get people to fill up on that, and they won't eat the crawfish.
I've caught wind that a lot of crawfish boils that have been taking place over the course of the last couple of months have been mostly sausage and corn on the cob boils with a touch of crawfish.
The crawfish are too expensive
right now.
And the final thing real quick here is the soak. Number one thing, make sure you soak your crawfish at the end. That's the most important thing. Crawfish are going – you're going to get the pot to a level – where it's when they put the crawfish in, they're only going to boil for 4 to 5 minutes. That's it. Cut that flame. You get the crawfish pot down to about 148 degrees. You could spray the sides of it, get it cooled off. Never put ice in your crawfish pot to cool it off. You know, just turn off the gas, take the lid off, stir. You know, if you have a boil boss that gets the pot clean on the outside or gets the pot cool on the outside, you could use that, cool the pot down to about 148 degrees, and then let those things sit. Just let them sit, no flame. The longer they sit, the more flavor it gets into them. That's the whole idea. You're trying to get as much flavor into those crawfish as you can. When you let them soak, they start at the top, they sink to the bottom. So if you want them really, really spicy, go about 30 minutes. If you want them a little less spicy, go about 25 minutes.
Right on. A nice crawfish word. Education unlike any others. And speaking of gas, Craig Gass, one of our favorite guests from the Super Bowl in Vegas, he's here, and he is live at Shell Shack with you when we return right here to the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Lucius. It might be our best 420 ever.
Oh my
as
God.
Comedian Craig Gass is in town to make you laugh your ass off. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing good. I'm live on a webcam right now. I guess anybody can see me here. So if you want to tip me $5, I'll take the hat off. tip me $10, and maybe I'll eat some wings. I don't know. I'm at the Shell Shack. So
you are? Yeah, I think it's National Crawfish Day. You big Shell
Is
guy?
It really?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, wow.
That's
oh,
a
man.
Big one, huh?
Well, that's the day you want to beat the Shell Shack.
Absolutely, it is. And you can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. So, yeah, you know, when we saw you at the Super Bowl, you said, man, I'm coming through Dallas quite often. I'll see you guys soon. And I didn't know it was going to be this quick.
The crazy thing is I had to look at the dates. I have not been in Dallas in 10 years.
Wow.
It's been 10. I don't know why. I have really bad ADHD, so I just take gigs that are offered to me. And there's some cities that I've done really well, and I just don't go back to, and so much has happened since the last time I was here. I feel bad for resetting, but I got to reset for anyone who didn't hear me when I was on with you guys in Dallas. But
sure.
I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm usually funny. I do voices on Family Guy, American Dad, and I work on the Howard Stern Show, and I'm known as a comedian who does voices. I've always been able to do any voice that I hear because of how I grew up. And this is not a joke. This is a true story. Everyone in my family is deaf. My mom, my dad, my sister are all completely deaf. So growing up in a deaf family, I couldn't learn how to talk from my family. I learned how to talk by watching TV and copying all the voices I heard on TV. Never got an accent from the Bronx. And as I pointed out to you when I saw you guys, everybody in the Bronx sounds like Tracy Morgan.
Everybody in the Bronx talk like this, whether you black or white, male or female. That's crazy. Hey, this is the voice of your next door neighbor, and I'm a Vietnamese girl. That's crazy.
Like, everybody sounds like that. So the weirder the voice, the easier it is for me to be able to do it. And I'm in Addison this weekend at a brand new comedy club called TK's Comedy and Cocktails. It's a nice upscale comedy club. And Dude, I don't even know what I know there were stories that I wanted to talk to you about when I was with you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I got around to them. Like, I remember thinking, like, oh, man, did I tell you that whole story about Alec Baldwin that he told me he almost got in a fist fight?
No, you told us the one with the guy who's like, hey, you're talking to my guy all wrong, the Christopher Walken.
Oh, Christopher Walken hated me.
Yes.
Christopher Walken hated me.
Yes.
Oh, man. Because
we got that one.
I had dinner with him, and there was another comedian going, dude, do your impression. And Christopher Walken did not care at all. Yeah. He goes, no, man, just watch this guy. Just do the impression. And Christopher Walken just threw his utensils down and said,
go ahead.
And I was like,
listen, I don't know if this sounds like you or not, but what I try to do is I try to sound as weird as possible. And every once in a while, I say the word cowbell, pow, and Walken just went, wow.
And then he went back to his food. And the other comedian, who was Richard Belzer, keeps pushing me, like, oh, do this impression, do this. He has me doing Sam Kinison. I'm at a dinner table with this guy. We're having steaks. And I go, I don't even know if you know this guy is, but this guy used to do a lot of blah, oh. And Walken just cut me off and said, listen. I get it. You're talented. Good for you. And I was like, I'm not this guy. The Alec Baldwin story is I worked on this TV show with James Caan and Alec Baldwin called Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And every day, Alec Baldwin would knock on my trailer door and come in and go, can I hear some of your impressions? I love your impressions. Can I hear some more of your impressions? And I go, yeah, can you do me a favor? Because I'd always have friends visiting. I go, I got some buddies here from Dallas. Do your Tony Bennett. And he does, like, impressions that are crazy. He has his Tony Bennett. You go, what the hell does Tony Bennett sound like? He'll just grab an empty martini glass and go, yeah, I'll tell you what. I used to date Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe was a real foxy lady. I once made love to Marilyn for up to 12 hours until the paramedics came along and said, Tony, she's gone. Like, the material was really dark. It was really, really dark. So he kept asking me, he goes, let me hear some more of your Al Pacino. I want to hear your Al Pacino. And I kept doing Al Pacino for him, and he keeps telling me, I got to tell you this story. I almost got in a fight with that guy. And I go, what? And then he tells me this mind-blowing story that Alec Baldwin starred in a one-man show on Broadway about Al Pacino's life that was set to open on Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. Oh, wow. That was supposed to be the opening date. Wow. Yeah. And it was supposed to be a six-week run. They only did a couple of performances. They had to scrap the whole thing. But the problem with this show is that it was written by a former best friend of Al Pacino's. Okay. And the former best friend revealed a bunch of personal information that Al Pacino didn't want people to know. Yeah. And so,
did he forecast the 85-year-old pregnancy situation with a 26-year-old?
Which would have been amazing. The idea that there's a little baby going, Daddy and I are pooping our pants. Baldwin starts hearing through the grapevine from people who are like, hey, man, I don't know what this is about, okay? But I'm just relating what I heard. I was at a movie screening last week. Al Pacino was there. He says the next time he sees you, he's going to beat your ass.
Dang.
I don't know what that's about. I'm just relaying this information. So Baldwin keeps hearing from people that Al Pacino wants to kick your ass. And then he says, one day I'm in my apartment building in Los Angeles. The elevator door opens up. Who's in the elevator? It's Al Pacino, Beverly D'Angelo, and a real estate broker looking for an apartment in my building. He said as soon as the elevator door opened up, Beverly D'Angelo gets out. Oh, my God, it's Alec. Look who it is. We were just talking about you. You're so political. You should be a president or something. Weren't we just saying that, Al? Weren't we just saying that? Said the whole time, Al Pacino's looking at him going,
oh, this guy. Yeah, this guy just does anything he wants, don't you, Alec? You just do anything you want.
Beverly D'Angelo, not picking up on what's going on, starts walking down the hallway with the real estate broker in tow, and Al Pacino just eyeballs him as he walks by, and Baldwin goes, Al, can I say something to you for 1 second? I want to talk to you. He goes,
what, you got something you got to say to me? What do you got to say to me, Alec?
And he goes, listen, I know you know about the play. And he goes,
play? You're in a play. Tell me about your fruity little play. I'm dying to hear about your little play, Alec.
He goes, listen, I know you know about the play. I just want to tell you, I didn't do it out of disrespect to you. And this is the truth. I've never had more fun than I did playing you. That's the truth. And he said, Pacino looked at him and said,
Alec, how in the world can you have fun being me? Because I'm miserable.
And Baldwin said he put his arms around Al Pacino to give him a hug, and Pacino went,
Jesus.
And they hugged, and they got, and they were like, all right. And they worked through him. Man, I had to poop when I heard that story. My stomach was a knot, and I was like, oh, my God. By the way, that's a censored version of that story.
Unbelievable great
story. If you want to hear the uncensored, go to TK's in Addison this weekend for the comedy show.
Now, do we have a YouTube or places people can get your audio and watch you online, or you just
if you just Google my name, you'll see all the Super Bowl stuff I've been doing, the info for the shows this weekend. It starts tomorrow night through Sunday night. It's getgas.com. Get gas with two S's.com for the tickets this weekend. If you're a fan of any of the shows I've been on, King of Queens, Family Guy, Sex and the City, you'll love the shows. Did I tell you about how I ended up on Family Guy, that they discovered me on YouTube?
No, I don't think we got that part. We got the Seth story where he hates you.
He hates you. Yeah.
Hates you. Yeah. And then I told you about how Tom Arnold and I have had some issues at the Super Bowl.
Yes. I hate you too.
Because every year at the Super Bowl, you experience it yourself. At the beginning of the week, it's quiet.
Yeah.
It is. And there's no celebrities there yet, and you're looking for that content. So my radio buddies will say, hey, can you join us as somebody famous? So it sounds cool. Back in Omaha, wherever we're broadcasting to. And the only remotely sports guy I can do an impression of is Tom Arnold. And I'll go full-blown Tom Arnold. Hey, guys, we're here at the Super Bowl. And a lot of celebrities are coming into town. I was actually at a Cocaine Anonymous meeting last night with Marv Albert. I probably shouldn't say this, but Marv's a big cokehead. And his sponsor is Vanilla Ice. Again, I shouldn't say this, but Vanilla Ice is addicted to bad rapping. And and they'll just start naming random celebrities and sports figures and attaching them to addictions. And Tom Arnold gets attacked every year on Twitter with people going, dude, you're supposed to be anonymous. What is your problem? I love that people.
Man, that's a great compliment, though.
Freak out on Tom Arnold, but the shows are a lot of impressions, stories about people I do impressions of.
Unbelievably good.
Had I already gotten in trouble with the Super Bowl video when I saw you guys with the Chiefs?
No, what happened there? Did you have your press pass?
You said you were going to be on your best behavior. You swore to us you were.
I did. Well, here's the thing is someone edited. Patrick Mahomes has always been great to me every year. The players usually are. I think your job is the hardest job in radio, talking to athletes, because it's so hard to get something real from a athlete. I think.
Well, I mean, unless you're talking like Derek Jones Jr. or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you get the one-offs. Talkers, incredible.
Yeah, talkers are the best, yeah.
I've actually heard a lot of friends say hockey players are the best. Hockey players will give you the most.
Yes.
Like, they'll just talk. They won't try to be careful. They'll just talk.
No, they're usually drunk.
Yeah, and at Super Bowl, the Super Bowl every year, when I'm talking to players, I'm always trying to get something fun and silly, but you can feel like guys are kind of standoffish. But the stuff is so – I think I told you that, Tom Brady every year when I would see him, I go, Tom, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian. You're so handsome. Yeah. When you look in the mirror, does your reflection ever just wink at you? Isn't that cool? And he laughed. And because he laughed, it was like, oh, man, it actually ended up on ESPN. Yeah. I got no credit. This year, I ended up on ESPN with no credit. And I was raked over the coals because a year ago, I asked Patrick Mahomes, what is the key to doing an impression of you? And he said,
I don't know. I think I sound like Kermit the Frog.
And I was like, really? And then that wasn't funny, but he gave me another funny thing. And then this year, I said, last year when I saw you, you said you think your voice sounds like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Do your best Kermit the Frog impression. And he goes,
Right now. I'm doing it right now.
And people cut out the part where I said, this is what you said to me last year. And they just put clips all over the internet of me just going, hey, do your best Kermit the Frog.
I'm doing it right now.
And people were like, man, the media's jerks. And I was like, he said it. Yeah. He said he sounded like Kermit the Frog. It was I got killed for that.
Well, It was a comedic gold, Craig, and we always look forward to when we can get you on, man. We've loved the Patrick Mahomes Kermit the Frog storyline for a long time. You brought it home like nobody else.
Thank you.
We got to run from Shell Shack, though, dude. Right. And next time you come through, let's not wait another 10 years. We want to get you back on.
I would love that.
That was awesome.
Everybody would come out to see the show. You will love it. It's getgas.com. Getgas2s.com.
And that's at TK's.
TK's up in Addison.
TK's in Addison.
It's a brand new comedy club, cocktails. It's a nice restaurant. It's funny.
4 days?
Four nights. Wow. Tomorrow through Sunday. And everyone I talk to, I'm like, dude, I'm performing there. Everyone's like, oh, dude, they're food. Yeah, man. Like, there's. And I'm like, well, I'm there too. You know?
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, right. getgas.com. Thanks, guys.
We got to run. Chief, where are we going next?
Got a little football's finest for you, featuring a couple of draft questions for Broadus next in the nation.